Waffle House is a diner, but on crack.
Looked at me like I was f***ing Houdini.
It should be, because this place be bumping.
Like, I know one kid, he put, like, poop in a bag.
You don't want to do anything, like, super illegal.
Let's party, life's always a party. Let's go, Pauly.
How we doing, baby? Let's go, life's a party.
I'm rocking my New York Yankees gear.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
Well, you're more of a Phillies guy. I like, you know what I hate?
What, bro?
I hate that people say that you're not allowed to be fans of multiple teams. Like, I like the Phillies, and also I like the Yankees.
Well, that's okay, because one is...
One's in the National League, correct. One's in the American League, but people hate on me for that.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
I saw a viral video that I laughed at. On TikTok, where a guy said, yeah, I could be a fan of two teams. I'm a fan of the Steelers and whoever's playing the Ravens.
Yep. It's like, well, I feel like that's a Philly thing. It's like whoever's playing Dallas and an Eagles fan, baby.
All right. Well, how are we feeling, people? Stay tuned next week. We have our, what, third or second annual Halloween show?
Third annual Halloween show.
So first year, what were you first year? You were Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, no, I was...
No, you were Luke Skywalker.
I wasn't... No, I was a different...
Oh, no, you were a different... You were Star Wars, though.
I was a Star Wars character, yes.
I was Jumanji year one. Year two, we were in the studio for year two.
We were in the studio last year here. We had
I was
really
a
good
construction
show.
Worker stripper.
Correct, and mm-hmm. I was an astronaut.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
That's pretty good.
We're going to have to find out. I'm going to have to find a costume for next week's show.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good time. Halloween's an exciting, dude, one of my favorite times of year. Definitely you. You got a birthday coming up.
Yeah, so I got some plans for my birthday. Like I said last show, fall's my favorite season.
Fall's pretty good. Yeah.
It adds an additional liking because my birthday is in October. It's October 28th. My sister lives in South Carolina. She's a nurse. So me and a couple of my buddies... We're doing a road trip to South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. It'll be dope.
10-hour drive. I don't know how I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to go to a South Carolina football game. The game is on the 29th. My birthday, 28th, is on a Friday. So maybe we'll get some dinner Friday, wake up, tailgate, go to the South Carolina football game. We're row one behind the end zone. Should be a good time. And then probably, what do college kids do? They go home and then they get... And Halloween costume and go to the bar? Like, do I have to bring a costume to the bar?
You should probably, not going to lie, I bet you a lot of people will be in costume at the game.
At the game?
Yeah, it's going to be a big weekend. That's actually my alma mater, Montclair State University. Our homecoming is that Saturday, and the theme's Halloween, so people, I think, are going to go, like, all out during the day.
Do you know what you're going to be?
Not yet, man. We're getting there.
Last year, I was Post Malone.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we did
a poll. Remember I was Post Malone a couple years ago?
And somehow you won the poll.
Found the best.
Clearly my Post Malone outfit was much better. But I'm thinking I might be like, what are those people called? You ever see a show Below Deck? Mediterranean or whatever the hell that?
No.
I forget what they're called. But
you're
going to
be
like,
a seaman?
Like a boat guy.
That's what they are. They're called seamen.
Sure, I'm going to be a seaman. I hate this. I don't know what we're doing here.
Just got him to say that, you know?
But that's my Halloween plans for my birthday weekend.
I have a Halloween costume I'm doing with a group of my buddies. Like a group
costume. So you lied. You said you know your costume.
Well, I didn't think about it, but I'm like, I forgot we talked about it.
Are you doing like Minions or something?
We're doing a group costume. It's going to be a good time.
It's a surprise.
It's like six or seven guys. It's going to be a good time.
But you don't know where you're going to be for the show next week.
Not for the show. I want to do something different. I like Halloween because you get to do a lot of different options.
We should shout out your mom. For how many years has she's like homemade her Halloween costumes?
Yeah, my mom was really great. Growing up, we did always homemade Halloween costumes.
You were the Philly fanatic.
Yeah, Philly fanatic. I did Jimmy Neutron right when it came out. That was like the first year it came out. I did Elvis. I was Elvis. It was a classic homemade costume. So
Paul always won like the Halloween costume contest.
Because they were homemade costumes. They weren't store-bought.
And then I was like a fat referee, you know, like the referee where you get like a hula hoop. That was my dumbass fucking costume. I wasn't taking no first place prize with that costume.
I love sports. I'm going to be a ref.
A fat ref.
That's what the 9-year-old Ryan Smith said. But Halloween's a great time of year, so let us know if there's some costume ideas or things that you're excited about. Always the bars are popping on Halloween. I was in Hoboken last year for Halloween, so I think we're going to do the same thing this year And Halloween and Christmas in Hoboken is just insane.
We'll do some more Halloween topics
for
next week's show. But what do you like? What do you prefer when you go trick-or-treating? Like, do you like when someone gives you a soda?
Yeah, you know, I still do trick-or-treating. 25 years old.
You might.
Yeah, still go around the town.
I might hit a couple houses.
The best thing is the Ron's like, yeah, I'll go to
what about Mischief Night?
Mischief Night is a good time. Definitely don't participate in that.
Oh,
anymore.
Is it? We're going to get into... To start the show, we're going to go through a couple New Jersey facts, because we're a New Jersey podcast. We're located in New Jersey. Didn't I think we brought up before that Mischief Night is only celebrated in Jersey?
2 years ago, our first like Halloween show, right around that time, we actually did New Jersey facts as well, and we talked about Mischief Night. And the idea is like, the term like Mischief Night is really only celebrated here in New Jersey. But, you know, we're talking about the night before Christmas, or night before Halloween. The night before Halloween, we call Mischief Night, and the idea is that you just kind of create mischief around your town, whether that be like toilet paper someone's house, or like put soap on someone's car, or make a prank, or whatever, right? But some states do it, but it's not called Mischief Night. So that's like kind of just New Jersey.
Like we probably go a little over the top.
New Jersey does everything over the top. We're the
like
best.
I know one kid, he put like pooped in a bag.
Pooped in a bag, laid it on fire, baby.
Yeah, and ran away and left it on the doorstep.
It's a classic.
Egg in a house.
Eggs, you got to stay away from eggs because they can take the paint away from, especially a car. You don't want to do anything like super illegal. Like, I don't want to key a car. Don't key my car, please. Like, don't do that. But if you have a harmless prank, cool idea, let us know in the comment section down below. We'll do some cool stuff.
Yeah. Next week, Halloween show. Stay tuned.
Be all right, here,
so
baby.
We're going to get into those New Jersey facts. We're Jersey boys. We have an episode called Jersey Boys, but the first one is that the streets in Monopoly are based on real Atlantic City streets. The Monopoly board gets its street names from actual streets in Atlantic City. It seems the origin of this is debated. Some say it was a woman named Ruth who wanted to name the streets after where her friends lived. Others say it has roots in real estate. Others say it has roots in real estate agent who knew the lay of the land and wanted to reflect local real estate in New Jersey. Regardless, the street names are very real and New Jersey based. Have you ever drove around those parts in the near the Monopoly board, Paul?
See, Atlantic City isn't a place I just like to drive around.
Well, it's like the Margate area. It's like Boardwalk.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's cool. It's like cool. Like I'm always a geek for that. Like Paul always makes fun of me because like how I like this part of the stupid like history landmarks. Like I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And because whenever I bring up trivia history, Paul's like, oh, because we talk trivia. We talk history.
We love history here on the show.
But I do like seeing those landmarks. And I remember like when I was little, my grandfather, we'd drive past the boardwalk and he'd go, hey, that's part of the Monopoly board. That's what represents it. So I like it. Are you a Monopoly guy, Paul?
I do like playing Monopoly. The problem with Monopoly, though, is like people get so cocky with Monopoly.
They do.
They're like, oh, I'm the best player in the world. I was like, well, guess what? Honestly, Monopoly can go so many different ways. Yeah, it has strategic elements. You got to be good at it. You do have to be decent at it. But at the same time, you could also be just like an asshole and not play the game properly. Like you could hoard things or
you can prolong it.
There's all this crazy stuff you can do. And I think that's what's fun. People like strategy games.
I agree in that it probably doesn't take that much skill to be good. Like you can't be good at Monopoly. You think?
You can be better than others for sure if you know how to... If you know how to make deals and bargains, and also there is a little bit of luck, right? Like how many times are you going to miss landing on Boardwalk? Like you could miss it a lot because it's, you know, it's a hard spot, but at the end of the day, you land on a once, you're pretty much over if you got full hotels on it. So I love Monopoly. I like playing, but it is one of those games that if you play as a kid, especially if you have a younger sister or a younger sibling, the game might not actually end because they might toss the board. So you got to pay attention or you might have a friend.
It's also a long game, dude.
There is. Yeah, but we used to play in high school. And
yeah, but you have to. It's like poker nights. How poker nights are prolonged and how they take forever. Monopoly takes forever.
It's like, hey, we come home after school. It's like 2:30. We get home by 3 o'clock. You start Monopoly by 4 and you're probably playing until about midnight. And that was just the night. We would drink. Like yeah. You drink and play Monopoly.
Drunk Monopoly is a phenomenal activity.
Well, yeah.
What?
But that's the problem. Some guys can be like, they just get too drunk. They don't want to play right. They want to be assholes. They want to hoarder stuff. They don't want to make good trades.
My strategy is to get the railroads.
I hate that strategy.
Why do you hate that strategy? It's a good strategy.
No, because it's just not enough money.
I know, but it lands on... Oh, I don't think we have that fact. But I thought one of the the railroad is one of the most land on spot in Monopoly. I don't think that's right, but we'll have to look into that. But go ahead, Paul. What's our second New Jersey fact?
We love talking about diners here on the show. We are Jersey boys at heart, obviously. And New Jersey has more diners than any other state. A lot of people say California has a lot of diners, but New Jersey, diner capital of the world. So, you know, this obviously doesn't come a shock to anyone. We love our diners here in New Jersey, and people call us the diner capital of the world. While it's tough to get an exact count of just how many diners are here in the state, there's an estimated 500 diners in the state of New Jersey.
I did see that someone comment on our, because we put out a couple diner TikToks.
Yeah, we did it. We talked about our drunk food, right? And we were like, oh, we love going to the diner drunk or like after a night at the bar because we love our diners. And we were saying how, like, I got 4 or 5 diners, you know, like a mile from me. And he's like, oh, dude, California's got so many diners too.
You know what I will say? Since we were talking about diners on that one episode, I recently went to a diner with my girlfriend. I kind of itching to go back.
Diners are a great time.
It's a good vibe, you know?
I was at one on Saturday, or Sunday afternoon. Went to the Pompton Queen Diner. It's one of the best diners in North Jersey.
The Pompton Queen Diner.
The Pompton Queen. Place is bumping. We were there Saturday.
A diner is bumping.
No.
This guy's acting like it's like 11 in Miami.
Dude, this club. No, it should be because this place be bumping.
Is there a diner where you can drink? Well, you can.
Well, you can get drunk at diners, which is insane.
No, I know people like get drunk and then go to diners.
No. But there, if you go to most diners, there is a bar.
Can I get a fireball shot at the diner?
You can, but you'd be a psychopath.
Well, I am a psychopath.
But yeah, in New Jersey, we love our diners. I had one that actually closed right by my college. It was there for so long. There is a diner on my college campus. Where I went to school, yeah. Montclair State. It was the only 24/7 diner in the country, or that was only 24/7 diner in the country on a college campus.
Would you consider Waffle House as a diner?
Yes.
Really?
Waffle House is a diner, but on crack. Like, if you've ever been to a Waffle House, it's so funny. It's
like literally on
it's
crack.
It's like, oh, did you come? I was like, guys, let's go to a Waffle House. And he's like, why? He's like, is the food really good? No. Is the service good? No.
So is Denny's a diner? Yeah.
Denny's is a diner. IHOP's a diner.
If you had to rank IHOP, Denny's, and IHOP. Wait, IHOP, Denny's, and Waffle House. Have you been to all three?
I have, yeah.
So how would you rank those?
Here
it is. Let me throw it to you. Paul's going to rank the top three crackhead diners out there. We got Denny's, Waffle House, and IHOP. Paul, what is your top three crackhead diners?
Okay. Friendliest? IHOP.
Crackheadiest.
Best food? Denny's. Weirdest experience? Waffle House. Honestly, diners are great, and I think the food you're going to get there is usually pretty good.
Doesn't Waffle House have a challenge?
Waffle House is... Dude,
we should do that for a video. Like, eventually, we start making this maybe full-time. If you guys love us, subscribe on YouTube. Give it a thumbs up. Give us a nice review on our podcast platforms. But if we are lucky enough to eventually do this full time, we start doing these vlogs. We start doing these competitions, these video competitions. We should do something with the top three crackhead diners.
So, you know how they're in
fantasy? Little crackhead collab. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
And we will do crack.
We're going to do crack. And we're going to go into this Waffle House.
Let's go right now.
So
views, that does numbers.
You definitely know that fantasy football, there's like the main punishment, right? It's like go into an IHOP or Waffle House or whatever, and you have to be there for 24 hours, and every pancake you eat, you get like 1 hour subtracted from your time there. So I saw a video on TikTok recently where the guy walked in. He's like, hey, told the waitress. He was like, I'm going to be here for a while, like whatever. And then he goes, yeah. He's like, so I've been in the Waffle House for 2 hours. I've had 3 pancakes. I was like, you've had 3 pancakes in 2 hours? And you guys stepped this up. Like,
I saw that. That guy is a disappointment.
People were in the comments being like, this is pathetic, dude. Like you should at least be on a second serving, or like the one pancake is, or the 3 pancakes is one serving. Like, minutes max.
He hit half of the first pancake, and he's like, I'm struggling, guys. It's going to be a journey. I'm like, dude, you should be having at least like 12 pancakes
like
before you're hurting.
Get your thing together, bro.
How do you think you would fare with that? I think I would. I could, like, they say, so the pancakes are obviously bigger at IHOP, right? Or Denny's? Or is this IHOP?
If you're looking at like a normal diner pancake, they're pretty big. And they're hefty. So, like, they're filling because it's just so much.
Like in my mind, yeah. I feel like I can knock out 12 easy.
I think you give me six pretty quick. I feel like within an hour I could hit six. And then I think after six, it's going to get difficult for sure.
All right. I think we should probably eventually do that as a video blog. So stay tuned for that one. But you're right here. Paul gave his top three crackhead diners.
Yeah.
You're welcome. All right.
One more New Jersey fact here for you.
On to movies.
Oh, I love a good movie.
The first drive-in theater was in Pennsauken, New Jersey. What'd you say?
I was like, love a good movie.
Yeah, I know you do. Have you gone? When was the last time you gone?
The movie theater?
Yeah.
My
girlfriend just asked, like, what's good coming out? Avatar?
Avatar's coming out. Black Panther 2's coming out.
But both are going to be long as shit.
Black Adam, by the time you're listening to this, has already been out. I want to go see Black Adam starring Dwayne Johnson. It's your boy, too.
As Rock.
Yep.
All right, but let's get to this fact.
Yeah, you do that.
The first drive-in theater was in Pennsauken, New Jersey. The first drive-in theater opened on June 6, 1933, and was called Camden Drive-In, obviously located in Pennsauken. Originally, it was known as a park-in theater and was invented by Richard Hollinshead, who was supposedly inspired by how uncomfortable normal movie theaters made his mom. So he said, Mom, you know what? You're uncomfortable. What's a way that I can get creative where we can see a movie together with my mama and she can be comfortable?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure.
So Hollinswood went through a series of tests, went through a series of hypotheses.
Let me just restart that.
Hollinshead went through a series of tests in his own driveway to figure out the most optimal visual and sound techniques. And thus, he came up with the first drive-in theater in Pennsauken, New Jersey. Paul, that's something to be proud of as a New Jerseyan.
Yeah, I've only been to a drive-in theater once.
I've never been.
You ever done it? It's a cool experience. I love the movie-going experience in general. I think for the summer, the problem is, like, it does get hot, or you might have bugs, or, like, but the audio quality, like, things you think about that might be annoying, like, audio quality is great.
Didn't you say that when you went to the drive-in theater, you had the volume of the movie in your car, right?
You
put on the TVs?
Radio
channel?
Yeah, you put it on a radio station. So, like, for us, there was three different screens playing three different movies. And then, usually two times. It was, like, 7 o'clock showing and then, like, a 9:30 showing or whatever it was, right? And then it was like, okay, all three screens kind of started at the same time. So you would just be parked in your specific screen. And then you would turn to the station that your screen is like on.
I don't love that.
Why?
Can I see the other screens?
Now, it depends how far depends how far back you're parked.
And how much is it usually? A little more expensive?
Usually you pay per person in the car. You don't like pay per car. So I think it was like $7 or $8 a person. Like, it wasn't too expensive.
I'm going to have to do that. They play, like, new movies, right? It's not just a reruns.
No, it's all new stuff, usually.
Someone comes around, or you just get out and get snacks.
You just go out and get snacks, yeah.
It's like I'm from a different planet.
It's a good time. It's something different. If you want to experience something in the summer, try something different, but go to a movie. Like, try to see if there's a, you know, drive-in theater located by you. I know there's one in New York that we go to. New Jersey, there's one located.
I want to go to the original.
I don't know if that's still there. The one
1933, that's many years ago.
What's the name of it again?
It was called the Camden Drive-In. It doesn't have any other names.
No.
But look up Richard Hollinshead. That's the legend.
Who said,
hey, Mom, you're not comfy? I'm gonna create something for you.
I can't. Warwick. The one that I'm thinking is Warwick. I don't know if that's New York or that's.
I think there's one in Marlton near us for all the Jersey people out there.
Not in Marlton, no.
Sorry about that. That's incorrect information.
Warwick Drive-In Theater is still doing stuff. I don't.
Where's that located?
Is
that the New York one or is that the other one?
Yeah, New York.
Or make Warwick, your own drive-in theater. That's something I've been doing recently. I get like a white sheet, I get a projector, watch a movie out back.
Well, I like people who do so it's called dive-in. It's like you do it by pool at night.
That's dope.
You would blow up like, you can buy them on Amazon or whatever. They're like blow up screens and you could set up a projector outside, be in the pool, be on a floaty at night.
That's
watch
fire.
The movie from your pool. It's a pretty good setup.
I'm going to do that.
But yeah, some New Jersey facts for you. We're obviously New Jersey boys, so we always like representing the state. But let's go down. We got some popular or unpopular opinions about life.
Yeah, these are very unpopular opinions, so we're going to give our thoughts about them. The first one, Paul, is math is one of the most enjoyable subjects in school. I will say this is a very unpopular opinion. It's not enjoyable. You were a little bit better at math. It's not enjoyable, but I will say it is a handy skill to be good at. Is that fair?
The idea with math is like, everyone always talks about like, oh, when am I going to need the Pythagorean theorem in my life, right? And at the end of the day, like 95% of people will never need it again. But math, it makes you learn problem solving and like how to think that way. So that's why the skill is valuable. I loved math. I'm a very logical thinker, and I was good at it. So I really enjoyed it. And like middle school, high school, first year of college, I started. I was like, this is terrible. But
well, like me, it gets very insulting when the check comes and I can't figure out how much I got to tip the lady.
Well, that's a simple thing. One for every five. You know
it's
what I'm
not simple. It's 20%. Very difficult. But I will say, I wish I was good at math. I'm just not good. I'm really bad at math. And the worst part is my girlfriend is just as bad. So I feel like if you're out there looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, make sure that significant other understands math. Because when you have two people that aren't good at math, it's not a good combo. And chicken hit the fan.
For sure.
Will you settle with one that at least understands how to use a calculator?
So when you go on your next Tinder date, just bring like a little times table sheet. Let her do that. Let him do that. See where they stand. Then you can proceed with the date.
Great way to start.
Just helping.
Yeah, date advice from Ryan Smith. next one we got here is job searching is actually pretty fun.
Job searching is not fun.
Absolutely not.
No, it's not.
I know people who enjoy it, though. Like, I actually have friends or coworkers who have told me where they enjoy the interview process. And I've heard people who have actually accepted a job and then even went and took interviews elsewhere anyways just to practice their interview skills.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I mean, it makes sense. Would I do it? No, because I always do the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Would you think that's more of like freelance work?
It depends. I mean, what?
Some people might want to, like, they're in the mood for going for multiple different jobs. Maybe they're just doing freelance.
Well, freelancing is actually harder. I think, Paul can speak more on this than me, but I feel like finding freelancing jobs is harder than finding an actual 9-to-5 job.
Finding freelancing jobs is hard, one, because of the negotiation skills of going back and forth and, like, agreeing on a price. Because, like, I've talked to someone about this recently where, like, if you're in a freelancing job, so for me, right, it would be, like, photography or videography. Like, when I was looking for jobs.
Or porn.
And, yeah, whatever. And you were like, hey, they would basically be like, oh, what's your price, right? And then you kind of be like, you go back and forth. But you have to price yourself in a range that is acceptable. If you price too high, you price yourself out, and they're like, oh, I don't want to do that. But I've learned that you can also price yourself too low, where if they're like, hey, we know this job. We've already interviewed people. We've already looked and got quotes. That the job should be anywhere from like $1,000 to $2,000. But if you come in with like a $500 bid, they might be like, ah, he's probably not that good.
Or he probably doesn't have a good awareness or understanding of the industry.
Yeah, and then he's like, you price yourself out because you price
yourself
too low.
Or you could get bumped up because they want to spend less.
Yeah, but then they're also, yeah, it all depends. You got to work your way up. You figure out, you know, as you work in the industry.
Ryan, you'd be good at that because you like stalking people. So you could probably stalk the other end and find out. I mean,
if people are hiring like $100,000 a year, sure, I'll fucking stalk people.
But it's, yeah, I mean, freelancing is not too fun. Yeah, having to figure out where your next paycheck is coming from while you're currently like stressing about a current job isn't the best.
What do you think the best way to job search is? I mean, not like we're like a business podcast.
No, but
I always thought like Indeed was good.
Indeed's good.
LinkedIn, I can't fucking figure out.
LinkedIn
takes too much effort.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I can't figure out LinkedIn.
It's more for, I think LinkedIn as like a professional social media network, not as
a
job.
Yeah, I feel like it's more
searching.
People on there like flaunting their positions or like networking people who they're linked to.
Yeah.
More so like, how do I find a job?
No.
It's more so like, hey, look who I'm networking with.
Here's my resume and here's some people who I know. And that's basically about it.
Yeah. So
that, and then for sports, when I was looking into the sports industry, Teamwork Online is really great.
I applied to many jobs out of college for Teamwork Online, and I didn't hear back from any of them.
Did you write cover letters?
Yeah, I wrote cover letters. But I was very, you know, bare minimum cover letters, same cover letters, but then I changed words, but I wrote cover letters.
But I feel like being in the sports industry a little bit with the Devils, I've talked to more people about, hey, like, the problem is with jobs in the sports industry is that the pay, the entry level pay is so low. Like it's insulting, really.
That's everywhere too.
Yeah, but the sports industry is insulting. And the problem is because they can get away with it because everyone says, oh, it's my dream job. By you saying it's your dream job, like they know it. They know that somebody's going to come in and work on their hands and knees and put in maximum effort for minimum pay. And that's the problem with that industry, and they've taken advantage of that.
And it feels like over the years, they keep asking for more and more, like...
Oh, my God. Here's 10 years experience. Yeah. It's like... I mean, and that's why I think Teamwork Online, you might have an issue with it.
Who the fuck has 10 years of experience looking for a $45,000 a year job?
It doesn't make any sense. It's hard. And that's the sports.
World
I mean,
sucks.
I was looking at jobs with New Jersey... New York Jets. And it was like... Even a football team who, you know, the Jets aren't that great right now, but, like, they're still making a lot of money, and they should be able to pay their employees, at least full-time employees, a decent wage. But they know that people, it's their dream to work for a professional sports team, and they're going to pay them the minimum. It's just terrible.
You brought up the NFL, which I thought was funny, and it kind of coincides with them maybe being cheap. They played New York Giants played a London game against the Packers, and they had, like, this new, cool sideways camera.
Super dope. I saw it.
That like went around the field and looked like almost like a video game. Super dope camera. And the NFL main account tweeted, "Man, we need this for every game on every Sunday." And somebody quote tweeted that tweet and said, "You're literally the NFL that brings in billions of dollars. Make it happen." Like, why are you tweeting from your main account? "Man, we should have this for every game, for every team, on every channel."
It's,
well, you are the NFL. You can fucking do it.
It is really interesting knowing that side of social media. Like, working with brand accounts, I've realized, right? Like, those people, their job is to run these social media accounts. Like, that guy's like, "Hey, I run the NFL Twitter account," which he definitely is in connection.
Like, he's
with
like an average
people.
Guy.
Yeah, but he's not like, he doesn't have some special connection with Roger Goodell.
He's not in a mansion.
Yeah, like, that guy just does social media. He's probably great at his job. That's why he got that position. But, like, him bringing that camera, he has no connection to be able to do that task. But somebody quoting him has more of the opportunity that somebody from the NFL who can make that call and make that change will see. So, but it's always funny to be like, I think McDonald's or Wendy's or, like, there was a company that made some comment, and they're like, you can do that. Like, what are you, like, why are you saying, "Oh, this is a dream"? Like, do it. Like, you can do it. And it's like, no. That's just the social media guy.
Yeah.
Like, lay back a little bit. He has the same dream as you he's the consumer too. So,
how do you think social media managers are, I don't want to go down this, but
no, yeah.
How do you think they're like, do you think they're respected enough in a way where, like, their salary is how much value they bring in to the company, you think? Like, are they valued where they should be? That's the question.
I think it depends on company. I think it depends on industry. If you're in a competitive industry like the sports, like, I know those guys should, or I believe they're paid pretty well. They also have teams around them, right? Like, if you look at these teams, they have a lot of photographers they're working with. They have a lot of videographers they're working with. Like, I was actually paying attention to the Philadelphia Eagles on TikTok. And I was like, what type of content do they post? Like, where do they get this footage from? Like, how do they pull it, right? And some of it is UGC content, which is user-generated content, which is like, if a fan or somebody makes it, and then the Philadelphia Eagles will be like, "Hey, we really like this. Can we use it?" Or like, the ESPN does that all
the
time.
Well, I saw that last night, Monday Night Football. Travis Kelce was walking off the field after an interview with ESPN, and immediately some guy in like a suit gave him a cell phone, had like a video already up, and was like, "He just do a quick video." And he literally was like, "Oh, what's up, Chief Nation, blah, blah, blah." Did a quick 10-second video, gave it back to the guy. Then, like, later on in the night, I was laying in bed scrolling, saw the video. So it's like they're always trying to initiate those kind of, like, content, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a really hard job, depending on what industry you're in.
Do you think the same guy controls all of the Eagles' social media, or does he do, like, is there just an Eagles TikTok guy?
So I believe the way that, specifically with sports, because there's so much content.
There should be.
Usually the way it'll work, there should be like a director of some sort. So he would be like the director of digital content, like for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then he might be the guy who's overseeing everybody. So there might be like an Instagram guy, a Twitter guy, a TikTok guy, or probably like a team. Like, each might have a team of their own, but like a head person. So it's kind of like a tree. But there is probably some guy at the top that might have to approve things, or like, he's got someone that, you know, reports to him that they approve everything on Instagram. They approve everything on TikTok, but there might be like a team, like three team members. That's like, we're the Eagles TikTok people squad. Yeah. Right. And it's like, we make sure that the TikTok's good, but we're also talking to the other social medias. And we're also talking to like the head chief, which is like that director of maybe content. Whatever.
That's like the evolution of social media. Cause at one point it's like, okay, social media is a thing. We need someone to manage all of the Philadelphia Eagles social media. Then they get that guy. Then they realize the power of each channel. And it's like, oh, shit. this is important. We should probably get just this Philadelphia Eagles TikTok guy, just the Philadelphia Eagles Instagram guy. Like, it's funny seeing how that is continuing to evolve and the importance of a social media manager.
Yeah.
So next one is, it isn't rude to ask a girl her age. Well, we always grew up that you should never ask any of your moms their age. It's almost necessary to ask a girl her age.
Well, so here's the thing. That's where it gets a little complicated. If someone's older, if you believe someone is above the age, right? Like, you're thinking of like above like 18. Yeah, if someone's like well above 18 or clearly is above 18, I don't think asking her age is appropriate. Like, don't. But at the same time, if you're still in college, right? And maybe you're, you know, whatever you want to do. Yeah, you're 20, you're at a bar, or you're just trying to make sure that you're good. I think it is completely right.
Yes.
To ask a girl what her age is.
It's kind of, this is
because you're just saving your butt. You're just making sure that you're okay. But at the same time, a girl can lie. Like, the girl can lie.
You have to understand the regions. If you think the girl's in a certain region, in the younger region, you probably should ask.
Yeah.
If you think she's in the older region, you probably should not ask.
Correct.
If she's in the middle, you know, you're fine. Think maybe anything's up for grabs at that point.
Just be careful, because you're just making sure that you're okay.
I'm going to be 26.
Yeah. Birthday coming up, buddy. Next one. Buying stylish clothes for babies is a waste of money. What do you think about, like, the baby's got Jordans on?
It's probably a waste, but my kid's going to be wearing some J's.
You could just resell those.
J's on his feet.
Do they make J's that are that small?
Yes, they do.
You know what I envy,
Paul? Oh, my fucking God.
I envy... Jesus. What?
This guy.
I envy people who have small feet and who can still buy nice shoes for cheap in like a Journeys just because they fit in children's size shoes.
Well, it's a lot of girls who are smaller who have like really tiny feet.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we'll just buy kids' shoes.
For like $200 less.
Yeah.
And like Kevin Hart, he's like 5 foot. He wears like a size 6 or I don't know what he wears. But he can still get nice kicks, which are hard to find. They're rare shoes.
Because
but
most
he can
people,
get them
yeah.
in a Journeys kids store.
Nice. Yeah.
I envy those people. I do. But when you dress up, I'm going to dress up my when I have a kid, hopefully. I'm going to probably spend a lot of money to get him swagged out. I know that's probably a waste of money, but that's what I like to do. I like to waste money on stupid shit.
Yeah, the kids with clothes in general, the fact that they'll probably wear the outfit 2 or 3 times by the time they grow out of it.
What about dogs?
Dogs are different. I mean, you're not putting your dog in a Gucci. Your dog's so not wearing a Gucci belt.
Why? I guarantee someone out there.
Paris Hilton
probably put her.
Well, if
her
you
dog
got in. The money, yeah.
Gucci belt.
But if you don't have the money and you're like, oh, you're wasting your money on that stuff.
All right, I think a Gucci belt's a little extreme for a girl baby to wear.
Yeah.
But you could get some J's.
Also, why not just.
Well, you can get some J's.
You can't get a
also,
Gucci belt.
You're talking about a belt for a dog. How about a collar?
Nah, he needs a belt.
Nah, he's a belt.
Well, that's the thing. You're not buying. There's people are buying like shoes or they're buying jackets for their dog.
Right.
Like, that's the difference. You know what I mean? Yeah. Next one. The smartphone is the most dangerous device you'll ever touch.
It's dependent on how you classify dangerous. It's probably the most beneficial.
It could be beneficial. It could be dangerous. We always talk about the positive and negatives of social media, of having device. Last episode, we talked about possibly of like a Neuralink, of having all that information directly in your head, right? You don't have to search anything anymore. Like, that could be dangerous as well, because you could be searching the World Wide Web. You could be looking at someone's history, maybe. You could, like, there's a lot that goes into it.
But do you think our generation of parents, because people our age are becoming parents, like 28,
yes, very soon, yeah.
29, 27, 26, whatever it is, do you think they're more welcoming in allowing their child to have social media at a younger age? It almost feels like there's this generation of parenting that is coming up at our age where the parents want to be more so friends with their children than like role models, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like moms are more concerned or dads are more concerned about being a friend to their children rather so than like being a mean, strict parent.
Yeah.
I feel like that evolution's coming with our age range.
I feel that. I mean, people just want to be, you want to be the cool person.
Like being in TikToks.
These people want to be the cool people for the rest of their lives, right? They're like, oh, I just want to be the cool parent. But I think with the device, you could go the same thing as like the harm of like being an iPad kid. people talk about being an iPad kid, right? Where for the longest time, actually, I was every time I sat down and ate a meal, I'd be on my phone. I actually kind of stopped it, which I think, you know, just like sat and ate. But a lot of times it'd be like phone comes out, like don't talk to anyone else. It's just me and my phone. And I think that's a bad thing.
That's a short film. Just me and my phone.
Just me and my dude. That is a That's a horror story right there.
Horror story.
Just me and my phone. That's all I need, right? All right,
next one. Self checkouts are way easier than going through the cashier, Paul. I am and always will be a self checkout guy. I know producer Drew will not buy something if he has to go through a cashier.
Yeah, 100%.
So, no, but this, I love the self checkout. I think it's quicker. I think I'd rather just do it. They are promoting it because it, you know, it has.
It's like contactless.
But it's more for the business to save money. They're like,
they have to pay the electricity, not a person.
Yeah, they don't have to pay the person to work each cashier. There's less, that's like the main point, right? I don't have to hire someone, so we're gonna do more self checkout. Like Walmart. I remember when I was working at Home Depot, they just started implementing like self checkout stuff there. But here's the problem: there was a viral TikTok. Like a month or two ago, of a kid ordering a pizza. And his older sister, was trying to get him to order a pizza. And it was like, she had everything written down. It was like, hello, you know, I would like to order 2 like pizzas. And then it was like, the woman, what her response probably would be. And then his response, because the little kid just doesn't know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And I think that might be the problem here too. It's like, do you not know how to interact with someone, you know, like, at a cashier, for example? Like, do you only know screens? Do you only know devices? Because that's going to get really bad really quickly.
That would hurt society.
Personally, for me, I just don't like having to socialize with people if I don't have to. I can.
Yeah, but no, it's actually in his life, because I asked if he went to this cookie place, and he said he walked in and walked out because there was no other option.
No, I never even went in, because I'm like, I can't even do it on Grubhub, so I don't want to have to sit there and look at the menu.
That's extreme. That's not the, like... That's just extreme.
So now, do I agree that everything should be self-checkout? No, I heard Royal Farms has been doing that. Like, Wawa has self-checkout and then a normal cashier option.
Correct.
Which is what I think should be
the
norm.
I have a story about Wawa and self-checkout and the cashier. I went to Wawa, like, late night after the show. We filmed till pretty late, like 10:30, 11. And I'm in Wawa, and there's, like, a long line. Like, literally, like, 10 people deep.
I know where this is going.
In Wawa for the one cashier, and the cashier's taking forever. And I get my mac and cheese order, so I'm like, all right, I'm not waiting in this line. No one was at self-checkout. So I go up to self-checkout, and I know we talked, this is like the theme of the show is crackheads. If you go to Wawa at 11 p.m., there's crackheads in there. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. There's a lot of characters in there. So the self-checkout, no one's there. So I go up, I do my thing, and I just got Apple Pay. So I'm like starting to like kind of get used to Apple Pay and having Apple Pay. So I take my phone, and I just like... don't even tap the screen. I just like scan it from like far, and it just pays and it prints out the thing. The 8 to 10 people in line, like older people, people who aren't, they were like, their jaws literally hit the ground. Yep. They were standing in that line for 20 minutes. I go up to self checkout, use Apple Pay, don't touch anything. Bang, bang.
I can't believe
they're like,
I can't believe we had such a similar experience, because I've had multiple times where I've gone into a Wawa and there's a line and I'm like, why is nobody at the self-checkout?
I felt like the best magician of all time.
Here's the thing with Wawa though, because Wawa has just started implementing those, and the way they implemented those, they look like they're just empty cashier. Like,
yes,
they look as though somebody should be on the other side of the glass.
Correct.
Where like for Quick Check or for Royal Farms, for example, those are clearly self-checkout lanes.
Right.
Like, they're like that. Like, there's nobody even there.
So you're saying it's not intimidating?
No, it's just different. So
you don't
Wawa,
even notice it, because they take a normal checkout desk and add them to it, and so then they don't really market it.
So a lot of people think as though it's just empty. Where like, if you look at it and really closely read it, it'll say self-checkout, and then you can go up and do it. But that's why I feel as though Wawa's, that's the difference.
I know the one near me recently, when it was just there, it was just the machines themselves. Now there's a big red sign above it saying self-checkout for the people who, I guess, can't read.
It's probably going to come to a point, and not just our lifetime, but maybe 10 years, five years, where everything is self-checkout.
Everything, yep, 100%.
What's that one I remember? I don't know if they still do it. Was it the Amazon store? And how that operated.
Yeah.
Where you like walk in and you can pick up stuff and then just leave. And
I feel like that made the news, but then like nothing ever like grew
came
from
it,
that,
yeah.
You know? Like,
no, so
when I saw that article and read that article about how Amazon's like innovative way to grocery shop or whatever they're doing there at that place. I was like, oh shit, like this is soon. But then I feel like that whole concept kind of just fell off.
Yeah, it's been it's been like 5 years since that thing came into existence and nothing's really come of it.
So you're both wrong. So there things are coming. You guys just don't pay attention, but things are coming into existence. They are expanding their stores, but it's like Amazon stores, like the grocery stores, where Ryan's talking about the idea that there's no cashier at all. So basically you go in and then there's like a million cameras all over the walls. The shelves are weighted. There's like a bunch of stuff. And basically you would just take your item, put it in your grocery bag or your cart or whatever. And then once you're completely done, you just walk out to your car.
That's crazy.
And then it charges your Amazon account. It like will bill you. And then that's how you pay for
it. Well, I think it doesn't scan when you put like the gallon of milk in your car. I think it is.
No, so there's no scanner in the cart.
It uses image recognition and the weight to detect that you picked it up and left with it.
Correct. So there's actually one being built by my apartment.
Really?
So really? Yeah. Really?
Well, because I haven't heard anything new about this, so I'm surprised it's still.
Is there a Waffle House near you?
There's unfortunately no Waffle House around.
AI image detection Waffle House.
But yeah, this Amazon store, this grocery store, is being built. I've been watching it.
been watching it. I sit out there on the curb and
I'm watching the store being built.
Good job, guys. Good job, Larry. Way to hold that screwdriver, Larry. Yeah, I've been watching it,
Larry. You know, I'm curious. Just like you said, you're like, oh, nothing's ever happened, but I think things are happening. I think just mostly it's in cities, and we don't live in a city. But yeah, they're everything in the next 5 years. But I think there's two things here. One, I think the pandemic, the idea of everything being cashless and lack of connecting with people and wanting to share like anything, right? Like a card, cash, being even close to somebody has pushed that progress of self-checkout and everything like automated. And then I think Domino's, dude, I remember, straight up. Domino's. So a lot of people, right? Like I remember being a kid, calling the pizza place, speaking to someone and ordering a pizza or ordering for delivery. When Domino's came into effect with Domino's on the app, and that's why Domino's is actually, I think it's the most popular pizza restaurant in the country. Like Pizza Hut for the longest time, like had that reign, right? But then Domino's even talk about Domino's has like surpassed them exponentially. And a big thing is just like Uber, Domino's has become more of a tech company than like a food service company because of their app and their tracker and like all that stuff, right? By you, we have a buddy. We talk about Shawnee Brawny on the show all the time. Shawnee Brawny literally, even if it's before all the pizza parlors close, will only order something as if he could do it on his phone. And Andrew's talking about the same thing. If you can't do it on your phone, you're like, oh, I don't want it. And that's what pushed Domino above everyone. And they were way ahead of this curve.
Yeah, for a long time, I wasn't a Domino's person, but I was a Papa John's person. I would not order anywhere else because they had an app.
Yeah, right? It's like, so if you had that app and didn't have to speak to anyone, people started ordering from there more frequently. And it's just, it's like,
and then it turns out these other fast food places are adopting it. Like Chick-fil-A, you order, when I go to Chick-fil-A, instead of going drive-through or going in, I order on the app. I pull in a Chick-fil-A, I enter my space number, and someone walks it out to me.
It's and sometimes it's quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's just funny how these like companies are being rewarded on who can like baby us the most.
Well, people will take convenience over anything. They will pay like, for convenience.
So, Amazon. Like that's why they're good, great.
That's why Amazon is Amazon. I mean, the fact of 2-day shipping, now 1-day shipping, like if you could put it in my
what?
Go on.
Boy, I'm missing it. I'm missing it.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop. But no,
missed it. I wish we could rewind because I was zoned out.
Hand it to me, like I would take it. Like people will prioritize convenience over anything, and they'll pay for it. So the fact of like Domino's, I remember how expensive Domino's was, especially in high school. Like if I could walk up the street and buy the pizza, I will save $10. But by not leaving and not having to talk to anyone and just doing it on my phone, I spent the extra $10. Yeah, and people will pay for
That's why Uber Eats, crazy expensive.
So expensive.
People but it's still just
use
so...
it. People still use it.
Yeah.
Actually, now I think about it, it's pretty bad with me and Uber Eats because I actually say, please leave at the door.
I
don't even want to talk to the delivery guy. I just want it at my door.
That's insane, too. The delivery process has even become like you don't even have to see the person.
I think I got Domino's last weekend, and my girlfriend ordered on the app, And I said, oh, did you tip them? And she's like, I don't know. I made a contact list to put it on the step.
Yeah, that's so another thing.
I went out, though. I went out and was like, that's another
thing
I put the tip you on the thing, whatever.
That's
but,
another
yeah,
thing
contact.
That really helped me because I don't like going out socializing with people. The COVID shit really helped a person like me who doesn't want to go out there and talk to a person because
yeah,
it's just contactless.
Yeah, COVID was like, COVID normalized putting food on the ground. That doesn't make any sense to me. It's like
on the ground.
You was like, oh, yeah, contactless delivery. They would literally put it at your front step. Before, if my delivery pizza or delivery person put the pizza on the ground and then left, I'd be like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you're not going to hand it to me? Like, that's so, if you think about it, it's so rude. And then people are like, nah, dude, just leave it on the floor.
But there's like specific, put it on the flower pot to the right and then that would be
knock three times.
oh, we talked about that before on the show. But I think it's a good way to end the show.
Yeah, you know.
It's get out of your shell, producer Drew.
Correct.
Next time you go to McDonald's, walk in, say hello to the cashier. Have you had a wonderful day? Give me 20 nuggets. That's all it takes.
Yeah, they're going to look at me like I'm a fucking psychopath.
But make sure you're following us on all social media platforms.
I can just picture his interaction. Oh, let me get it's just scared to death to order something at McDonald's.
You're fucking right. This is the problem.
Before he says something, he just runs out to McDonald's.
That's what it feels like.
But make sure to follow us at Life Supporty Pod. Give us a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube, or you know, give us a review over on any listening platform that you're listening to the show. We appreciate you guys, as always.
Music, take us out.
See you later. Happy Halloween.
I hate that.